Hey everybody, just a little jump into what today's episode is we're going to talk a little bit more about mock scrapes. Didn't get to do a lot this weekend here at the place, and working on box stand wise, but I went and checked a couple of those scrapes I have out. They still are cleaned out, deer are still on them. I don't have any cameras on them. I added cameras to them this time. Hopefully we'll check them in a few weeks, see where we are from there. Today's episode is going to be a little more in-depth about, you know, scrapes and mock scrapes and what they're used for. And like I said, we're going to just take it little by little, and I know everybody's got a different opinion, and this is our opinion, and, you know, some will have some factual evidence, I guess, to back it up, but some is just from our personal stuff that, you know, it's not... You know, oh, well, it's not proven by this person or that person. It's what we do, and it works for us. So stay tuned. Thanks. Julius Craig, Delta Lodge Outdoors. So jumping right into everything, today we're going to talk about mock scrapes and regular scrapes. Like, I'm not a big, you know, oh, I'm going to hunt scrapes, because most of the time deer work scrapes at night. Now, early season, I like to keep an eye on my scrapes, or deer in the rut. I like to hunt. If I'm going to be near them, I want to be downwind from them, because the bucks are going to go through cruising, check, see if does are checking them, and so on. And, you know, all scrapes aren't made equal, you know, just that's anything, you know, it's not made equal. But like your ideal one, it's going to have, you know, a licking branch five and a half foot above the ground. And that he's going to, you know, bucks can make it and interact with that. And he's going to lick or chew or whatever on it to get the, preorbital glands with his forehead and everything on it to get his scent. And, you know, obviously it's made by him pawing the ground and pulling it all out and everything. And, you know, you go from there. It's just a different, each one's a little different. You know, mock scrape, the way we do them is they're created. A lot of times I'll use a stick or whatever to clean it out. I don't ever use my foot. I use a stick, or I have used an old deer leg. I've used, you know, different things that we use, just like trapping. It, when you make a set, you don't want to set it, like, you want to clean the area out. They make a tool to do that with, so you don't leave scent in it. And that's the biggest thing. You want to make sure you leave as the little amount of human scent as you can in it. And we'll dive in one of the next few episodes about, you know, people will actually use human pee in them. I'm not a person that does that. Like I said, I know guys that do it. It's not my thing. You know, it works for some guys. I've never used it and would say that it works for me. Maybe I got too much ammonia smell. I don't know. We're not going to get into all that, though. I'm like, don't want to have a whole conversation about my pee and this. You know, you want to look and target certain areas, though. You know, once you find an area, you know, you're looking for a certain type of tree with the right overhead hanging on the branch, you know, just the interaction branch, you know, like I said, which you're looking stick, everything should be about five and a half foot off the ground. You know, you want to duplicate what it would be in the, just the regular deer would do. If you go and do it where it's not something a deer would normally do, he's like, what the hell is this? Like, this is people. He's not going to mess with it. You know, your location's important. You know, deer use scrapes year round to kind of check and see who's in the area, who's new, who's old, that's still there, vice versa. And their communication, and that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize. They're not just, you know, a rut based item. You know, you want to take into account the bigger area of the whole thing. You know, your mock scrape's not always going to get hit. You know, the interaction might just be very small. Your goal is to, you want to draw them there during legal shooting hours for a shot, and that might not be on the scrape itself. You set it up, they're going to check the scrape, so you're hunting outside that. You're not hunting over it, you're hunting outside of it to catch deer coming in to see what's going on. You know, like I said, they'll check them year round, but they're going to get hit, depends on location, anywhere from like October to December. You know, where I'm from in South Louisiana, it can be later than that. Like, you know, that they're getting hit hard. So that's something you got to look at, and, you know, what works best for you. So you know, different people, like I said, I scout a lot and like to check it out and see what's going on. And they're gonna check them. You know, they're not gonna be. There are certain times of year, obviously, they get hit way harder, like we said. You know, so. You know, like hitting them, like they're gonna hit. We like I said, we'll go and freshen them up, and but once you get one that's established, if you get it set right in the right area, they're gonna. You won't be freshening it up. They'll come to it. Like I said, I just put cameras over one here at the place. The camera over one because I have two that I made last year. And during deer season, I made them like probably September. And they're still freshening those up. They're still cleaned out. We had rain Thursday, a good bit of rain. There's some fresh tracks in those. You know, obviously, I may have created some problems. I was right over the top of them, but it's nothing major right now. But like I said, I want to check and see how mine were doing. I didn't add any more scent to them of the stuff that we make here at DFO and use for our box scrape kit. But what we did was I looked at it, saw that they're still going. We stepped back, set a camera up. I probably won't check them for a month or so, and we'll see from there what's going on. So it's... everybody's got, like I said, different... what works for them. You can research them and get, you know, mossy oak has a real good set on it, you know, with tips and everything. I'm talking about what works for me and what I've done, and I've had success. I can't say that mossy oak or, you know, Buckmasters or I don't even know how many's out there that does everything. You know, everybody's got their own, and it's like I listen to the Deer Hunter podcast and DH3, and he's got some stuff that he makes his own mock scrape kits and sales and everything. And, you know, he's got his own opinion of when, where, why. Just that's, you know, everybody in the deer world's going to be like that. What works for me may not work for him. What works for him may not work for me. But it's cool to have all the resources to look at. Like I said, I've mainly hunted South Louisiana, and I've got a year in Oklahoma. South Louisiana, I hunted a lot of, like, pine plantation, you know, in swamp areas. Here, I'm hunting hill country. So, totally different for me, getting used to it. But once you figure out an area with anything, like your scouting or whatever, is, you know, copy, paste, repeat. Boom, boom, boom. Once you figure out how to set your mock scrapes, what works for you, and just get them to it and everything, they're gonna come in there to them. And, you know, like I said, this is a—I don't even know. We'll call this the second part of the series, but it really isn't the second part because I'm going to dive into next time, like definitions of what scrapes are, mock scrapes, regular scrapes, early season, mid season, when to use them, and a lot of it'll be just, you know, verbatim what some of these other companies have put out. Because, like I said, if I go into a new area that I haven't been into, I scout it. I'll set up some mock scrapes. I'm usually setting that up September. It depends on when season opens. Like, being from South Louisiana, I have places that open in October. I would set them in mid-September and get an idea of what's going on. Some of the places I hunt in South Louisiana open in mid-September. I would set them. I'd be over there in August, checking it out, scouting, doing, and setting some up to see. And these were on public land and everything. So, like, you know, we would just do different things. Like, and come mid-September, October, you would have deer coming in through there, and you know, it's, if you put them where you know there's deer, they're gonna check them. You can't just put them in the middle of somewhere and like expect to pull deer. That's not how they work, and that's, I think, the biggest misconception of them. And it's like, you know, it's like I said in one of my previous podcasts, talking myself and a buddy, he had a feeder, and we literally moved it 50. He had no deer in like two, three weeks. We moved it 50 feet farther back than what it was, and like, you could see where we moved it to. It wasn't like the woods were thicker, like there was more cover, more vegetation, whatever. It just, they were not coming that extra 50 feet, which was crazy. But once we moved it, he was in deer every time. There was like, you know, there was always deer coming to his feeder. He always had deer in the area. But had he stayed where he was at, the season would have been a bust for him. So that's one thing you got to look at with scrapes too. Just because you're putting them in there doesn't mean they're in the right area. So we'll dive into more of that as we go down through the series. Like I said, it's going to be, you know, 3-4 part. This is, and I, you know, part two of basically the icebreaker, because it's like I'm basically going over what works for me. I go into an area, I look at it, I find the ideal Lincoln branch, what, you know, 5 to 5.5 feet, sometimes a little less. I like 4.5 to 5.5. You know, I go that. Usually it's got to be kind of, I don't like it literal stiff. I like a little bit of limberness to it where he can, you know, just stiff enough he can rake on it, but not so stiff that it breaks. So he wants some movement in there. I look for that and I find that. Then we clear out the area. And like I said, I don't like using my feet to clear it out. Once I do that, I may hang a drip bag on it that we use with our scents in it. Or I may spray the limb down with our stuff and put some on the ground and not put a drip bag. I do both. I do it like that because it just depends on, if I'm on public land, I'm not putting a drip bag. Mine on private lands, I may put the drip bag. Public land, I'm going to cover the branch with our stuff. I'm going to put some on the ground. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to go back, you know, a couple weeks later, and it's still going to be, if it's in the right spot, it's still going to be cleaned out. It's going to have fresh deer tracks in it. And you go from there. And it's like, just because they're coming to it doesn't mean it's daylight. But early season, the does are cruise through there. If you've got deer stopping, they're stopping. All you're trying to do is, where if you're somewhere where you can't, the way I look at a scrape is the same way Kevin with Deer Hunter Podcast, DH3, looks at it. I'm finding a way to make him stop where I want him to stop. That's it. If you can't feed, you can't make them stop in certain places. But you know you can put a scrape out there, set up where they're going to come check it from the backside, whatever. And you know how far it is between there. You have a stopping point. And that's how I look at them. I don't look at them as like, you know, they're per se not scrapes to me. They're a known stopping point. And or a known that I'm going to have a deer come through there with the wind right cruising. He's going to sniff to see if there's any hot does in that area. And that's the thing. You get them to come by cruising, checking it. That's when you go in. You set up with your, excuse me. You can set up with your doe and heat, whatever type you use, and freshen it up. He's going to come there. Boom, he's got a hot doe. If you're set up right, play in your wind, play in scent control, however you hunt, you've got them where they cruise this area and check it. Well, now he's, oh, there's a hot doe there. He's going to be leery, but he's going to check. And then that gives you your known stopping point because he's not going to put himself out in the open. But you're going to know where he's at. And that's because you've done your homework and you have a known stopping point. And with that, I think we're going to wind this one down because I'm at my known stopping point for this one. Just everybody, I hope y'all had a good weekend. We're, like I said, I didn't get to work on the box stand this weekend like I wanted to. I ended up doing some bush hog and I had to catch up on some of the pasture work. This is our almost full year of owning the place. We got it last year, March 31st, we closed on it, and got a tractor on it beginning like middle of April probably. But the previous owners, I don't think it bush hauled cleaned anything up in like 3 to 5 years. It was pretty rough. So we've been slowly cleaning that up. Then, you know, I got my rope and pin 3/4 of the way built. I got like half my post in for my barn. You know, like I look like a little rabbit leaving piles of shit everywhere because I can't get a job completely done because I'm home for 48 to 72 hours and then I'm back off to work for 4 days, 5 days, you know, then back. And so it's hard to get anything done. So, and I know these podcasts have not been the best of quality, the best of anything, and I apologize for that. Trying to get it all going. It's just having time, you know, to do everything. No excuses. I appreciate the people that listen to me and take the time out of their day, you know. So thank you for your time. Thank you. Julius Craig, Delta Flodge Outdoors. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Delta Flodge Outdoors. This is Julius Craig. We appreciate you listening to us today.